This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. There are no gray areas when it comes to how we feel about pedophilia and sexual assault. But that doesn't mean there aren't complicated social and interpersonal questions that surround these issues. And those questions are included in the Pulitzer Prize-winning drama How I Learned to Drive. Paula Vogel wrote the play more than 20 years ago. It has been staged many times since. Here are actors Elizabeth Reeser, Kevin Cahoon, and Norbert Leo Butz talking about their roles at the play's first New York revival in 2012.
It's a coming-of-age play and a love story, and it also happens to contain this relationship that's morally and legally and, you know, ethically wrong on so many levels.
The lead character, a little bit, goes on a journey of self-identity, self-exploration, and the catalyst for this is her uncle.
It's a damaged relationship, but it's not without a lot of love and a lot of warmth and true affection.
Now audiences in the Triangle will get a chance to see How I Learned to Drive. Playmakers Repertory Company in Chapel Hill is staging the play. And joining us now is Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Paula Vogel. Paula Vogel, welcome to State of Things.
Thanks so much for having me, Frank.
We are also joined by Lee Sunday Evans, who is directing the Playmakers Repertory Company production of that play. Welcome to you, Lee.
Thank you so much.
Paula, tell us more. Set up this play for us and maybe give us a summary of what it is we're going to see.
Sure. I mean, I think the way for me the play started was in 1974, I first encountered Lolita by Nabokov, and I absolutely fell in love with the book, and I have since read it many, many times, and I've seen all of the film versions. And what struck me about Lolita was how funny it was, that there was an endearing quality to Humpert Humpert. And what I wondered as a young woman reading this book, is it possible to write Lolita from Lolita's point of view? And it took me quite a while to figure out how to tell the story. I wrote it in 2 weeks. Kind of in a fever in 1997. And lo and behold, it got produced within 6 months. This never happens in a playwright's career, from the instant that you write something that it is launched on stage. You know, I think in a way it's a guide to changing our point of view from being a victim to being a survivor.
Well, and talk a little bit more, set it up for us, because it is a complicated and a nuanced play. And I think in a lot of ways you take a risk in doing this, but anybody who sees it will understand what's going on here. So set it up for us. Talk about a little bit, first of all, and her relationship with her families and how you've constructed this play.
I'm sorry, was that for me?
Oh, Paula, that's still for you.
I'm sorry. Okay, so setting up a little bit. Interestingly enough, I feel that in this family, Little Bit is given a kind of attention and, in essence, a kind of love from her uncle who is grooming her. I think one of the reasons that Little Bit survives is a sense of humor, and the play has that sense of humor. Which is, I think, a way to survive. The chief metaphor, of course, which allowed me to write the play, is that we learn how to drive at an age where we're coming of sexual maturity, adolescence. And it is her uncle who gives her the ability to drive, which is also the ability as an adult to escape and drive forward. So that's kind of the way it's presented. It's musical. It looks at sort of a small world of complicity in the cast of characters. The original tagline, which my producers talked me out of, was it takes a village to molest a child. There is a sense, however, of lightness in the way that I feel that there's a lightness when we finally allow ourselves to look in the rearview mirror, look at what happened, forgive ourselves as well as forgive those who hurt us, and then drive forward.
And the story is told in retrospect, and so the scenes in which we're adjusting our mirrors are all the more exquisite. Lee Sunday Evans, talk about this play and the approach that you take to directing it.
Well, I think one really fundamental aspect of the play that you're starting to hit on is that Little Bit is telling the story as a woman later in her life. So as an adult woman, she's going back to tell the story of this relationship with her uncle, and she tells it through a series of memories, most of which go back in time, which I think is a really incredibly profound and wise choice on Paula's part about how she's choosing Little Bit's kind of point of entry into her own story. And I think that as Little Bit goes back through these memories, I've really worked in kind of a really exquisite collaboration with Julia and Jeff, who are playing these lead roles, on how to activate what's very present tense about each memory and what it might be in each of those memories that Little Bit as an adult is seeing anew for the first time, or that Little Bit is putting some pieces together about the complexities and nuances of this relationship that she's at a point in her life now as an adult that she's both emotionally equipped to look back on in a new way and also has a wealth of life experience to now understand some of the things about her experience as a very young woman that were bewildering and confusing and also enticing and a bit, beyond her ability to kind of discern as a young woman.
Well, and Paula, we're going to talk behind your back here for just a minute because I want to ask Lee how she did it with the way you, Paula, have constructed the play. Lee, the fact is that it is sort of revealed slowly over time. The audience doesn't really catch on right away. And so we're going to find out really toward the end of the play what this is leading up to. And in a way, that's the way she experienced it, and now she's putting it together in her own mind. But you, as the director and the actors, all know how this comes out, and I just wonder how you sort of, from a craft point of view, how you deal with those slow reveals and allow this story to unfold the mm-hmm. way it does, which gives it far more complexity and nuance for us as a viewer.
Well, one thing that I'll say about that I'm so passionate about the play is that I think for a woman to tell her story publicly is an extraordinarily brave act. And so it makes a lot of emotional sense to me that for a Little Bit as an adult woman, telling the story in this way gives us access as the audience listening to it for the first time about the bravery that she has to go on to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the story. So if Little Bit could come out on stage and summarize the whole thing right at the beginning, I think it would do a disservice to the emotional reality of how much stakes there are involved in coming out to tell your story.
You prepared a scene for us. I wonder if I can get you to run that scene for us now and maybe set it up for us too.
Sure. So this is a scene that happens a bit in the middle of the play, and it's what I'm going to be reading is going back and forth between two characters. Little Bit is the main voice, and there's a young man she meets on a bus, and that'll be the second voice that I'm reading. 1979, a long bus trip to upstate New York. I settled in to read when a young man sat beside me. "What are you reading?" he asked. His voice broke into that miserable equivalent of vocal acne, not quite falsetto and not quite tenor either. I glanced a side view. He was appealing in an odd way, huge ears at a defiant angle, springing forward at 90 degrees. He must have been shaving because his face, with a peach sheen, was speckled with nicks and styptic. "I have a class tomorrow," I told him. "You're taking a class?" "I'm teaching a class." He concentrated on lowering his voice. "I'm a senior, Walt Whitman High." The light was fading outside, so perhaps he was, with a very high voice. I felt his interest quicken. 5 steps ahead of the hopes in his head, I slowed down, waited, pretended surprise, acted at listening, all the while knowing that we would get off the bus, he would just then seem to think to ask me to dinner, he would chivalrously insist on walking me home, he would continue to converse in the street until I would casually invite him up to my room, And I was only into the second moment of conversation, and I could see the whole evening before me. And dramaturgically speaking, after the faltering and slightly comical first act, there was a very briefest of intermissions and an extremely capable and forceful and sustained second act. And after the second act climax and a gentle denouement, before the post-play discussion, I lay on my back in the dark and I thought about you, Uncle Peck. Oh, oh, this is the allure. Being older, being the first, being the translator, the teacher, the epicure, the already jaded. This is how the giver gets taken.
That's a scene from the Pulitzer Prize-winning play How I Learned to Drive. Playwright Paula Vogel is my guest, and that was director Lee Sunday Evans. Play on stage now at Paul Green Theater at Chapel Hill, staged by Playmakers Repertory Company. Paula Vogel, let me ask you about writing this play, because, again, there is humor in this play. There is real emotion, real affection between two people who have an inappropriate relationship, the uncle in this case being culpable also, among other things. Did you have any misgivings about or worries about this, that you might be misunderstood, that you might be giving safe harbor in writing a play in that way?
Oh, I definitely did. I thought I was going to be stoned. And I actually, there was a freedom that happened when I wrote it, because I thought, oh, heck, no one's ever going to produce this. But the gentleness and I hope the love that's in the play also was coming from the point of view of being a teacher of young undergraduates. And there have been many hours in my office hours where I've heard young men and women talk about or need to talk about and need to tell their stories of what has happened to them in their childhood. So I wanted to write it as truthfully as I could, but I also wanted to write it in such a way that it didn't re-traumatize anyone. And I was shocked the first time it was read that there was a moment of silence in the room, and people just said, this play is going to go all over the world. It really kind of stunned me. It was actually my first real success at this level in the theater.
That was 1997. This is 2019. How do you think audiences take this play today? What about the comparison? What have you seen over time in terms of the ways in which audiences have taken this play?
Well, I think that what I am hearing constantly from people who honor me by producing the script is that it is, alas, extremely relevant today. And I think people have kind of expressed astonishment that it was written more than 20 years ago. That said, I still think that there's a revelation of how this relationship feels, and I still feel that what we are doing in our presentation of predators or pedophiles is we are looking at them. Look at the word predator. We are writing them as kind of evil strangers on the playground in a trench coat, rather than possibly a beloved friend inside the family. Someone who is really a pillar of the community that has this one illness. And I still feel that that's the presentation, which means how do we recognize it? How do we understand the dynamics when it's happening in front of us if we expect it to be the kind of movie of the week treatment?
Mm. Lee Sunday Evans, what about the fact? Do you take into account that this audiences may have seen this one way in 1997, and today it's still relevant? It's still as relevant, if not more, today, obviously, because of the reception it's gotten and the number of times it gets produced. But do you take that into account? Do you think to yourself, well, what are audiences today going to take, or how do I shape this for a 2019 audience?
It's a great question, and you know, I have a long interest in how we tell women's stories and the kind of legacy of where women's stories kind of they've existed in our culture, both mainstream and kind of outside the mainstream. And so essentially, I think that this is, as a great work of art, is a timeless play, and it will be relevant whenever it's done. I do think right now it's in dialogue with a very particular cultural moment where we are as a public, we are an audience on a national scale for women coming forward and telling their stories in all kinds of different formats, via major media outlets, via personal social media, and also I think among kind of our more private and intimate relationships in our lives as women. So I do think that the play has a really interesting connection with that larger cultural kind of narrative reckoning that we're having right now. And I think it's really beautiful to be a part of that. And I think that this play will speak to audiences no matter when it's done, hopefully at a time in the future when this isn't such a prevalent part of our society.
Will there be talkbacks? Will there be dialogue around this play?
Yes, I think there will. Mm. The theater has an amazing kind of list of programs and events that are on their website.
That's great. Well, we will link to that website from our website, stateofthings.org. And then thank you, Lee Sunday Evans, directing the Playmakers Repertory Company production of How I Learned to Drive. Thank you so much for being on the program. And Paula Vogel, Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright behind the play How I Learned to Drive. Not only is she behind it, she wrote it. Paula, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks so much, Frank.
How I Learned to Drive, on view at the Paul Green Theater in Chapel Hill through April 21st. And, of course, you can find details at our website, stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Anita Rao, Laura Pelliser, Dana Terry, Amanda Magnus, and Jennifer Brookland. Robin Copley is our technical director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.